The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
All right, everybody.
M. A. That's a preview show, AK. This is the post show.
This is jazz, the baby. There's no rules for jazz.
Welcome, everybody, to the UFC Vegas 49 post-fight show here on MMA Fighting's YouTube channel. If you're listening after the fact, we welcome you, as well as for those watching live. We just witnessed Islam Makhachev. I mean, we can't put it any other way. He actually steamrolled Bobby Green 3 minutes, 23 seconds into the fight. TKO win. It didn't even look like he was touched. He made it look super easy. It was just a dominant performance. He gets it done. And the question is, does he get a title shot in his next fight? I think it's absolutely a no-brainer, but who knows? Stranger things have happened. But thank you for joining us. I am Mike Heck. We got Jed Meshew joining us once again. He's been very busy tonight, talking a lot of noise on the People's Pre-Fight Show, on Twitter Spaces, and now on the Post-Fight Show. And we got Alexander K. Lee, the Prince of Positivity. At least for a time, he was the Prince of Positivity, and now people think he should probably have a different nickname these days. But welcome, AK. How are you?
Who's saying that? How dare they?
I mean, people are unhappy the way you're criticizing these cards, AK.
And some of these cards on paper are pretty whack. I don't know. Do you want me to be AK the liar? Because I can do that too. I can lie. I can lie to America. It's not a great card on paper. I think it turned out okay. I mean, I think we can all agree the card was all right. It was good. I think it was better than last week's card. Yeah, I think we can say that comfortably, right?
It's definitely better than last week's card.
Okay. And it was just better, and it was probably better than a show which
maybe
I liked.
Maybe not definitely.
The Hermanson Strickland card. A show which I liked, but I mean, as Casey's pointed out before, like the last two fights kind of leave, you know, when they leave a bitter taste in your mouth, it unfortunately affects the rest of the card. I said that card was okay, but I'm fine saying this was the best of the last of the past three fight night events. Yeah, it turned out really well.
Good. So let's talk about how it ended, Jed Meshew. Islam Makhachev goes in there. I think we all expected Islam to win the fight. We thought that the betting line, the heavy favorite line in his favor, was justified. It was warranted. We thought Bobby Green would be able to go in there and put up a fight for at least a couple of rounds. That did not happen. Islam Makhachev took him down once, and then the fight was over shortly thereafter. You already have Islam Makhachev ranked as the number one 155-pounder on the planet. You can't rank him any higher now. What did you think of his performance over Bobby Green and just getting the job done in a little over 3 minutes?
I think that I am correct and that I hope
It's been a great weekend for me. First, you guys are about to get on the Renee de Ritter bandwagon, and now everybody's going to finally see what I've trying to tell you. Islam Makhachev's the best lightweight in the world, man. It's not close. I don't think it is. Like,
it's not close.
I don't even think it's close, man. I think he's going to wash any dude that he gets in that cage with. Like, we're going to see, because he's going to get a title fight off this, and he's going to do the same thing he did to everyone, the same thing Khabib did to everyone. It's just they're on a different level. I think I'm about as big a Khabib guy as there ever has been. I was standing that dude for years before he got the belt, and I will stand him in his career forever. I think Islam is maybe 80, 85% of the guy that Khabib is. He does not have Khabib's like otherworldly athleticism, but 85% of Khabib is still like 30% better than any other lightweight in the world. Look, we just checked the receipts. A lot of people were feeling frisky. A lot of froggy people wanted to jump on Bobby Green coming into this one. And that was a squash match. There was nothing. He had nothing for him. And Bobby Green is a good fighter. Sure, the circumstances were tough, but it just doesn't matter. Like, he exceeded even my expectations. And as we talked about a lot beforehand, I thought he was going to dominate Bobby Green. I didn't think he was going to do it to the degree he even did. He's the best fighter in the world. And I might move him up. I can't move him up. He's number one in my rankings. I might leave number two open and move everybody down and just leave one gap spot there out of respect for the man. No. Because why not?
Jed,
he's
pound for pound.
Better than the rest of them.
Jed, pound for pound. You can move him up pound for pound.
I guess I can. That's true.
I don't know where you have him on there, but there is room for upward mobility. You actually can give him more accolades.
So I grade my pound for pound rankings different than I do my divisional ones. So it'd be tough.
He is not ranked. He is not in our top 20 pound for pound.
Yeah, well, for pound rankings, the way I do it is I literally tally up points of their victories over ranked people in our things. So I don't have any Bellator fighters in my thing because Bellator fighters don't have a lot of wins over other ranked guys. Mm-hmm. So by that metric, it's still tough for Islam to kind of launch up pound for pound. But he's the top lightweight in the world, which means he's like the top fighter in the world because it's the best division. Sorry, Casey.
Would you be tempted to put him above? So here's our lower part of our pound for pound, our consensus pound for pound. I don't know what your list looks like. Sure, would you be tempted to put him above Sidi Algan?
If I was doing pound for pound in a nebulous way, similar to how I rank my regular rankings.
Sure.
Yeah, he's certainly a top 10 guy.
DJ Gegard?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. If I were doing it the way I rank regular things, he would be behind only Ngannou, Volkov, Usman, and Adesanya. So he'd be five for me.
Wow.
I'm surprised to hear you say Adesanya because you've been on record many times that you thought Khabib would beat Adesanya in a fight. And I mean, even what about 87% of Khabib, like you put on Twitter? That's what you – Islam Makhachev, which is damn good.
I don't know that 87% of Khabib beats Adesanya. I think you need all of Khabib to beat Israel. But, you know, it's at least – I said this before he retired. I would have picked Khabib to beat Kamaru Usman. I would not pick Islam Makhachev to beat Kamaru Usman. And I think that's kind of the dividing line. You know, I think he'd do admirably against Islam, Islam would do admirably against Israel. But, you know, I'll just favor the body of work from Israel. At this point in time, I'm willing to grow with Islam because he's going to be the champ for some time because ain't nobody in that division taking it from him. That man is better than all of you. Just get used to it.
There might be somebody else who might have something to say about that, but we'll discuss that in a little while because he competed and got an impressive win on this card as well. AK, what did you think of Islam's performance, and are you with Jed? Are you willing to say right now into a live microphone in front of all these people that Islam Makhachev is the best lightweight in the world after this performance?
I mean, boy, I mean, you'd be very tempted to put him number two. I'll tell you, at least number two. It's hard to argue. Again, for me, I do like to have guys earn it, but that's harder and harder these days just with how long it takes like certain guys to fight. So it's almost unfair to say like, oh, well, Makhachev has to beat Dustin Poirier or Makhachev has to beat Justin Gaethje. Like, I think those fights, you know, could happen someday. Does he have to beat those guys to prove that he's the number two or as Jed says, the number one lightweight? I don't know. I think I hesitate to put him number one, but I don't think putting him there is like wild hyperbole. It's that's like a very educated guess based on what we've seen, how he's handled certain opponents. Now today, like, I do think calling his win over Bobby Green tonight, like the tipping point for anyone who's like maybe, you know, waffling about putting him all the way at number one, because it is odd circumstances. I mean, it is amazing to put away Bobby Green. I think I saw someone tweeting that he hadn't been finished since Dustin Poirier. So it's like 5 years ago. So say what you want about Bobby Green being a veteran. Some might say like, oh, you know, he's not a top 15 ranked guy. He does not get finished like he did in tonight's fight, whether it's wrestlers, strikers, whoever, BJJ guys, doesn't matter. He always has a way usually going the distance and then making it a competitive fight. Yes, 2 weeks camp for sure, or less than 2 weeks, we should say, was a factor. So if you want to use that to sort of ding, you know, Makhachev's win, that's fine too. But anyway you slice it, he did look like as advertised, you know, because when this was first announced, Bobby Green replacing Beneil Dariush, pretty much everyone said, well, Bobby Green is toast. And in the, you know, in the days in between, we've kind of talked up Bobby Green and said, well, here's how he could win. Here's what could be difficult for Islam. But I think if the odds are any indication, there was still a large contingent of people who just said, yeah, you can explain all that, but Islam's going to truck him. And that's a scenario that played out. So I almost feel like a little bad. I think in the media, we might have bigged Bobby Green up too much. And I think Islam might have seen that and been like, oh, well, I'm giving him everything I've got now. I mean, not that he have any reason to take, to give any less than 100%, but if there's any chance he didn't, I think we gave him some serious bulletin board material. And again, he proved he's probably one of the three, maybe the best 155er in the world.
First time Bobby Green has been stopped in a fight since June of 2016.
Crazy.
When he was stopped by Dustin Poirier. So it's been almost 6 years since he was stopped in a fight, and Islam goes out there and just does it with very little effort. I mean, this was something else. And this is the thing about Bobby Green that we've been saying from the beginning, and not a lot of people, I mean, people might were hitting me up on Instagram DM thinking Bobby Green was going to win this fight. But I will say this, Bobby Green loses nothing here, loses absolutely nothing. He gets finished in 3 minutes and 23 seconds. The fight was not all that competitive. First takedown, the fight's over. Bobby Green loses nothing here. Nothing. You could throw him in a main event in his next fight, and no one will bat an eye. Islam Makhachev, we thought maybe coming out of this fight that Bobby Green might get a little bit of a boost from this one, maybe even more than Islam Makhachev, because we thought Makhachev might be able to, or Green could survive and go to the full 25 minutes, but Makhachev gets a big boost. A lot of people now feel he's the best lightweight in the world. No one's saying no title fight anymore. There's no debate. His next fight should be for the belt, Jed Meshew, right? Like Charles Oliveira versus Justin Gaethje, whoever wins that fight, you're fighting Islam Makhachev, Conor McGregor or not, right?
Yeah, this is a wrap at this point. Look, I mean, you want to knock Bobby Green in whatever ways you can, cool. He's not a top 15 UFC-ranked fighter. By basically any metric and any rational person who follows the sport, Bobby Green is a top 20 lightweight in the world, and he was made to look like a rank amateur. Like, that's just it. It's not like this is one of one performances from Islam. He has leveled up and is just trucking fools now. And there's no, you can't deny him. Like, if he had come in and if he had had a Khabib versus Ally Aquintic style fight where it was clearly dominant, but he took five rounds and couldn't quite, you know, put on the big that is not what happened. A dude made a statement. I wish he'd have made a better statement on the mic, but, you know, it is what it is in that regard. I think the UFC is now, their hands are now tied. I still think if Charles Oliveira wins, he is going to try and fight Conor and not fight Islam. I just don't think that's an option for him, because the UFC is going to look at this dude and say, yeah, man, Habib should have gotten a title fight like 2 years before he did, and we ended up missing out on some prime years of promoting this once-in-a-generation athlete. We're getting a second crack at it. Let's just get this guy the belt, and then we'll build from there. He's getting it. I just don't think there's any way not at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to deny, and Islam Makhachev was just speaking with Megan O'Leary after the win, and he said he wants to fight for the title in Abu Dhabi. And then the guy, I think the managing editor or the man who is basically the spearhead for ESPN MMA, Charlie Moynihan, just tweeted out that Makhachev MMA tells Megan O'Leary you'd like to fight for the belt in Abu Dhabi. And he said pencil in October 22nd in UFC 281. Apparently they're going back to Abu Dhabi in October. I'm going to take this guy's word for it because he works for freaking ESPN. So I think he would know. But that seems to be the plan. I mean,
it's a good timeline.
That's what we're doing, right? We're doing Oliveira Gaethje winner versus Makhachev in Abu Dhabi on Fight Island. That's the plan, right? AK, that's what we're going to see.
Yes, I agree. It'll be Charles Oliveira versus Islam Makhachev on Fight Island. Yes, he will beat Justin Gaethje, and then he will beat Islam Makhachev. And I'm still all in on the Oliveira train. But I will say, I wouldn't put money on it. I'm past the point where I'm feeling super confident that Oliveira should be like favored. I think he might be at least a plus 200 underdog. Whenever that Makhachev fight becomes official, and then it'll probably move even further in Makhachev's direction. But again, I still think I'm going to pick Charles Oliveira when the time comes, assuming he beats Justin Gaethje, which is not a guarantee. I think he's got the style for it. I mean, again, that ground game is just insane. I still would have liked to see him fight Khabib. I would have picked Khabib to beat him, but I still would have liked to see you. You wouldn't have wanted to see that fight happen.
Oh, no, watch it. This is. Yeah. I'm interested in watching the best guy in the world go to work on anyone, but it was endlessly hilarious to me that the Tony Ferguson's going to be a tough fight for Khabib because look at how scrambly and grabbly he is. Cool. So he's going to grapple with Habib. He's done. We don't need to figure. I already know how that goes. Like, I don't need to see it. Like, I mean, I'll watch it, but like, if you're just going to engage in grappling with these dudes, you're just going to freaking lose. So I'll watch the hell out of it, but I'm not going to, because poor old Justin Gaethje, man, he's about to twice have a Dagestani beat his ass for a belt on Fight Island. That sucks. That is a tough scene for my guy.
Listen, he'll just be happy if he gets past Oliveira. That's all I'm saying. I don't, you know me, I'm going Oliveira all the way. He could. I don't think he will. I do have a poll earlier that I had to replace quickly because we had a better question. How would you rate tonight's card from 1 to 10? 7 to 9, 48% to 7 to 9. I think that's about the right range, 7 or 8. I think most people enjoyed it. If you sat down and watched tonight's card, you probably had a good time. So 7 to 9 was done. But I threw up the new poll. How high do you rank Islam in the lightweight division? Right now, number one, pretty comfortably ahead, 47%. So there's a lot of people already just saying, hey, uncrowned champ.
Rankings are how rankings go. I'm telling you this for a certifiable fact. Against any lightweight in the world, he is the betting favorite. There's a person on the planet he is not a betting favorite over right now. And I think that will speak a lot to those poll responses because
I think, that makes sense.
Everybody's just there on him.
We have bonuses, and Islam Makhachev is not one of them. It's not one of them.
That doesn't totally surprise me.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Can I guess first? I didn't see them.
Oh, yeah, let's play the guessing game.
Let's play the game. I didn't see them. Okay, I think there was a fight of the night, so I'm saying they gave it to Cachoeira and Kim. And then I would hope. Oh, I think they're gonna give it to Islam.
Nope.
No? Okay, good. And then my other thing, McKinney, Terrence McKinney.
I haven't seen it.
No.
I'm gonna say great. I'm gonna say Bahamondes. And yeah, give me Terman. Give me the armbar man.
Okay.
So not Bahamondes. Are they giving it to Arman Tsarukyan?
Yeah, damn right they are.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought you were gonna say Brahimai. Right, they're gonna say Brahimai. I'd be like, if he gets 50 grand for submitting Michael Gilmore, that's it. With respect to Michael Gilmore, that's the easiest 50 grand Ramiz Brahimai will ever see.
I don't hate Tsarukyan getting it. That's fair.
The whole performance, really, if not just the finish. Like, again, performance should take into account more than just the finish, right? And his performance, I think it's fair to say the second most memorable of the night, like overall his performance, right?
It was the second most dominant. I don't know about memorable. That sort of depends on a lot, but it's certainly the second most dominant.
It's a lot of blood. I don't think anyone who saw that's going to be forgetting that anytime soon. That's a lot of blood.
Yeah, that was a beating. That was a vicious beating. Nobody.
And Joel Alvarez is really good. Like, Joel Alvarez is super talented. And Tsarukyan just like mashed him. That was wild.
I expected 30-20. I expected a 30-27, but just seeing Arman just open him up with that elbow and in that first round was nuts. I'm surprised they let that one, you know, live to fight another day, bro. But they put him on a short leash and that's it.
We had talked about him beforehand, and I will say that performance, specifically one very specific aspect of it, has raised my ceiling for him. I still think he is not a champion because he fights in the same division as Islam Makhachev, and that sucks for him. But that guy is probably going to fight for a world title, and I say that because in that second round, when he had Alvarez busted to hell, he immediately came down and was like, I'm going to put this dude in a crucifix so I can elbow those cuts open again. And that is viciously mean. And that's exactly the type of stuff that like the best fighters in the world, like the best fighters in the world are mean people when they're in the cage. And when you like, that's the biggest sign I ever get when I look at someone is, hey, oh, they are smart and nasty. And that was some nasty ish. So I'm with you. I thought Tsarukyan was good. I think he is probably going to fight for a belt now.
Did you see Alvarez's corner like telling him, like as they were bringing him to the corner, like and cleaning up the cut, like you got to calm down, like you got to stay calm. Like I think, I know he's a fighter. I know these guys see this crap all the time, but like I think if you take like that much blood and that much damage early in the fight, I think that really he's still a human being.
Yeah, and I think it looks like he got attacked by a freaking shark. Right? Of course,
I think he was slightly in shock of like what had happened to him. So I was like, Mike, you were saying like, I'm not saying they should have thrown in the towel there, but wow, they definitely should have seen like our guy is kind of out of it now. Like he really, really took a hit there and the superficial damage and just being literally covered in his own blood. Look, some fighters might react to that differently, clearly Joel Alvarez was really, really shocked and hurt by that, as again 99% of humanity would be. So yeah, I do wish there was an opening in there to stop it earlier, because that was tough to watch after. I don't think he even wanted to fight anymore after that, getting sliced open like that. That was scary.
I mean, it would have been hard to want to fight when you were drowning in your own blood.
Mm-hmm. Which, not a fan.
Blood was just going everywhere. That was brutal. That was a horror show.
Brutal stuff. So in the UFC rankings, he's ranked 13. I mean, he beats everybody in the bottom half. He beats everyone from Michael Chandler down, I think. Chandler, RDA, Ferguson, Dan Hooker, Conor McGregor, Gregor Gillespie. He has a great shot of beating all of those guys, I think. And then we go to Islam. Dariush should be interesting. I don't know. Maybe.
No, I could be the one. Make that a fight. I think he and Matush Gamrot is a really good fight. I'm really high on Gamrot. So I'm not saying Armand can't win. I'm not saying Matush can't win. That's the problem with lightweight, man. Everybody, all right. If you take out the Conor McGregor and Dan Hooker, Tony Ferguson grouping, which is guy who sucks, guy who is a featherweight, and guy who's washed, then the rest of lightweight is insane. So,
yeah.
I don't know, man.
Yeah. Sarukyan and Gillespie seems like the fight to make right now. Mm-hmm. Because really Gillespie ain't getting that. Gillespie's not getting that Tony Ferguson fight as much as he wants it. And I think Gregor's just going to have to fight Armand at this point. I think that's pretty much what he's going to have to do. And we'll see. So we do a fight of the night. Might as well ask you, AK. You are the robbery review guy for MMAfighting.com. I know that is a word that is thrown out very loosely in the MMA space, the word robbery, but Priscilla Cachoeira gets the win. That word robbery has been thrown out a lot tonight. Do you agree? Do you think there's a little something fishy going on here? A little robbery action?
It's tough. For anyone who didn't see it, MMADecisions.com, that was about, I don't know how many people did it, but it was only one person. Oh, look at that. Look at that. Gosh, how does our producer do it? How does he do it?
Ben, what a hero you are, Ben.
The esteemed Ben Duffy of SureDog.com going 29-28 Cachoeira. All the other media members scoring it for Kim. I would have scored it for Kim. This seems like a classic case where almost the Diego Sanchez style where Cachoeira. What was the exact? We should look at the scores too. Which rounds?
It was all the same. All three were the same. First and third round to Cachoeira.
First and third round. Yeah. See, again, this is kind of the Diego Sanchez thing or the Leonard Garcia thing. I guess maybe now the Priscilla Cachoeira thing, because this is kind of her style. A lot of wild swinging, a lot of activity. She lands big shots. She does land big shots. So, you know, if they're weighing the immediate damage versus cumulative, I could kind of see how a judge would say it looks like she's landing the heavier shots, but she's also so inaccurate. And I think Kim put on a really strong, like, performance night. The first two rounds, obviously not as exciting, not as action packed as the third one. So I like knee jerk reaction. I would call the robbery. And this is coming from someone who, you guys know me, I always lean towards not robbery. If anyone reads like robbery review, it's usually of all the ones I've done, it's probably 3 out of 4. I usually go not robbery. And the ones that I do call robberies are like some of the most notable and obvious, like F-ups, judging F-ups in MMA history. So it takes a lot for me to call a fight a robbery. So if I watch it again, maybe I change my mind. In the moment tonight, I feel really bad for Jeon Kim. The good news is I think both women, we were saying sort of on the pre-fight that like I thought it was a loser. Kim now is on a 3-fight losing streak. Cachoeira, of course, has been on a 3-fight losing streak before, and was coming off that really bizarre loss to Jillian Robertson. So I thought whoever loses out, they won fight of the night. They put on a great show. They rewarded the faith of the matchmakers, who I think thought that putting these particular two flyweights together could result in the brawl we got. It wasn't like completely surprising. I guess the first two rounds were a little bit more what people expected. Round is what they're hoping for when you put a fight like that on the main card. So I will say robbery, but hey, congrats to both women. It was a hell of a fight. And I do think they'll both be getting at least one more. So that's good.
Yeah. Kim, it just seemed like Kim clearly won the first two rounds. If you want to give Cachoeira the third, again, no problem with that, because she landed some big shots and chick got wild and the elbows are nasty. And, you know, you want to give her the third round, fine. If you want to give Kim the third round, That's fine too. But
that fight is closer to 30-27 Kim than it is 29-28 Cachoeira. Just take a guess. Please take a guess what the strike totals were in the third round for both women. Just who do you think landed more and by how many?
Oh, Kim the third? Kim by 20.
Kim landed 86 to Cachoeira's 52 in round three.
That's tough.
And I know Cachoeira was landing some big heavy stuff with those elbows. And honestly, great plan to just, I can't hurt her with my hands. Let's put a bigger piece of bone behind it and see what goes. But she was also getting rattled with shots coming back. She just had a better poker face about it. Or she just looked meaner, and so she won the round and the fight. Credit to her for finding a way to game the system, but she didn't win that fight by a reasonable metric.
I will say, we should tell people, significant strikes are not always a great way to, like, just looking at significant strikes are not always a great way to judge a fight. But in this case, I think it reinforces the eye test.
30 more than one person in a round is usually pretty indicative.
But it doesn't, because not all significant strikes are created equal, right? You could have someone land three significant strikes and the other person lands 30. But if one of those three significant strikes was a knockdown, that one is worth way more than the other 30. Those 30 could have been leg kicks. They could have been glancing body shots.
So leg kicks don't matter.
They matter.
AK is officially against leg kicks.
Compared to a knockdown? Yeah, I'm going to give the guy who got the knockdown the thing every time. You can judge it wrong if you want, Jed. I mean, again, you've been doing it for a long time. You've done it many times in the past. But for me, I actually pay attention to the judging criteria, and I look beyond just the numbers. But in this case, I will say, I do feel like the significant striking stats, like, we had the eye test, which we think Kim won. Then you look at the numbers and it says Kim won. So, you know, in this case, they go together. But I don't want to tell people just to look at significant striking stats and say, oh, this determines who won a round, because that's really not the case. And I don't think that should be a habit for fans.
Okay. Well, let's segue into another fight that has been highly debated for the decision. The super fun fight at 185 pounds between Armin Petrosian and Gregory Rodriguez. Close fight, went to split decision. I will say there have been some egregious scorecards, and you can maybe say all three of the Cachoeira Gion Kim scorecards were egregious because it went to Cachoeira. Petrosian, I thought, won the first two rounds. You want to give him a 29-28, go right ahead. 30-27 Petrosian was kind of egregious. But Jed, you kind of made, like, you don't feel like it's that egregious.
I think that it's probably wrong, but not necessarily wrong. Look, very, very obviously the biggest moment in that third round was the head kick that busted Petrosian's nose up, and then he led to a takedown and the effort on the back. But one, according to AK, you know, the actual rules say that submission attempts don't really count because they're not damage. So him not getting the thing just doesn't matter. But the whole second half of that round, Rodriguez did actual nothing. Like once Petrosian got up from that admittedly really bad position, he went right back to work and started dinging Rodriguez up again. And at that point, Rodriguez didn't do anything. I think he got hurt a couple of times in the back half of that round because the way his body language changed so dramatically, he started really moving backwards. And the last 10 seconds, I thought he got really hurt, but Petrosian didn't have enough time and didn't recognize it because it looked like one of those kicks came through and actually put him on rubber legs, but then he was leaning up against the back of the fence and then the time was done. So again, it's probably not right to give Petrosian the third round, but, and I'll do this thing so AK can lecture us again because everybody loves a lecture on a Saturday night. The stats in round five are certainly far in favor of Petrosian, who landed 51 significant strikes to Rodriguez's 19. But again, probably not right, but I think it's not inconceivable to me to score that 30-27 for Petrosian. But it's questionable, I guess.
Yeah, the numbers, seeing it now, I get it. 50, according to the numbers, that was Petrosian's best round of the fight by far.
The whole, after he got up,
clip, 51 after he got up,
Rodriguez really did nothing but sit there and take it. For like 2.5 minutes, he just kind of backed up and got pinged. And nobody noticed it because Pedroza was bleeding from the face and it had been such a big part of the front of the round. But like, he really battled him back. To me, that probably should have more been Petrosian was on his way to losing a 10-8 and battled it back to a 10-9. But I'm not entirely against saying, hey, man, he won as much of the time of the fight and also did a lot of damage too. And so, sure, we're going to give him this round. It's not insane to do it. It's not crazy.
You can see what Tony Weeks saw. I mean, look, Tony Weeks, I know, is a name that has probably come up in judging controversies far too often. So, and justifiably so. Justifiably so, it's fine. I understand if people want to bristle at his name. Adelaide Bird was also in the cards tonight. Who am I forgetting? There was some perperpetrators. Let's put it nicely. There were some perpetrators. But I'm actually with Jed on this one. I do think it's easy to dwell on that one moment. But I mean, Petrosian really put together like a pretty solid 3-round performance, and it was a great fight. It was a really competitive fight, and so I would have scored it 10-9 Rodriguez, but I don't think you can go to Tony Weeks and go like, oh, Tony Weeks, you're crazy for thinking Petrosian won that round. Petrosian did a lot of good work in that round, and it was close. But I mean, sometimes rounds are close. I don't think we need to call everyone that goes the way we disagree with like a robbery. It was close. It was a really competitive and fun round.
More importantly, Rodriguez has no one to blame but himself.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a BJJ world champion. He shot one takedown, got it, and then in the second round he did it, and then he was gassed. Like he chose to fight in a really tough way, and he did a great job, frankly. Mm-hmm. Way better than I would have thought if you told me he was going to spend most of the fight kickboxing. But he didn't try to make it easy on himself, for sure.
Imagine if he just took him down the first round in armbar or something. Petrosian did a great job. That one time we almost caught him with a kind of a knee bar. Like he got knocked down.
It was a roll through Suluev stretch, which was insane and awesome.
That was sick.
And it was like, you should be doing that the whole time, Roger.
I know. That was. I know that. Credit to Petrosian, he got out of it. If that happens in round one, yeah, maybe he doesn't. They're not as slick. They're not as, you know, the situation's different. He maybe doesn't get out of that. Yeah, very frustrating for me. I think RoboCop is like a sleeper at 185. Maybe he still is, but if he keeps fighting like this and not using all of his strengths, then, hey, he could have a fun 10-12 fight UFC career, a lot of performance bonuses, fight of the night talk, you know, and that's great. And there's nothing wrong with that if he wants to go that way. A lot of great fighters have made careers like that. I just wish I could have seen him. This jiu-jitsu I keep hearing about that I don't think he's used in like his past four fights, like even before the UFC, he's kind of fallen in love with his knockout power, which he has. But come on, let's just grapple a little bit. Jiu-jitsu, come on.
He's the spiritual successor to Jacare Souza. It's the best.
Oh. He's like George Gurgel. George Gurgel, my God. Oh.
No, because George Gurgel couldn't hit hard, whereas Jacare
he could have just
grappled people, but he kept punching people in the face and they fell over. So, like, that's Rodriguez. It's awesome. I love him. I'm a big Rodriguez fan now.
That was a very interesting fight. And Petrosian's leg kicks throughout that fight were nasty. Those were nasty. Because I saw one of the comments that, you know, Petrosian landed more, but Rodriguez did more damage. I don't necessarily agree with that. Like, Rodriguez may have, like, busted his face up with a shot, but, like, those leg kicks were nasty. And Rodriguez, you got to score those.
Walking clean for a while.
Yeah, you got to score those. I mean, you just have to. I know the face and the blood and all that stuff, it looks gnarly, but the leg kicks, like, you got to give some credit to those, especially the hard ones he was landing. I mean, Rodriguez's right leg looked like hamburger meat when the fight was over. So those definitely did some damage. What a debut. Good win, and especially in your 8th professional MMA fight. That is not too shabby. Good performance from Ignacio Ahamandes against Zhu Rong. Gets some extra money. No bonus money, but he got a percentage of the purse. Josiane Nunez, I mean, just put it on Ramona Pascual for 15 minutes, but Pascual with that chin of, I mean, I don't know what that chin is made of, but good grief. That was some impressive stuff. Terrence
Only
McKinney.
Only 30-26. Only one, Mike.
I scored at 30-25, if we're being honest. I thought the first two rounds were 10-8s.
I had 30-24.
gave the third round.
I went 10-7. I went 10-7 in round two. Fine.
That's why we're not judges. We should talk about Terrence McKinney because what'd you think? Whoever was on Twitter Spaces, you guys got to watch. We got Jed and I's reaction to Terrence McKinney's submission win, 2 minutes and 11 seconds, rear naked choke. Good win. For SZM, everyone was already overlooking him. And I think in hindsight, when you look at it, they were like, oh, I told you, like, this is an easy matchup, but not the case. If you go back and watch the replay, ZM kind of took McKinney off of his feet with the leg kick. McKinney did a great job with his grappling, turned the defense into offense. And then his grappling's really good, man. He was an Olympic hopeful wrestler from that Washington wrestling scene. The guy is very legit, and you got to see it. So, AK, your thoughts on T-Rex's performance, the follow-up to the 7-second knockout, and again, not seeing a second round.
Yeah, I only wish it had been on the main card. I mean, like I said, the main card turned out okay. I don't think there's really any major complaints. First of all, we should point out there's one fight we kind of just skipped over on the main card. The quote unquote, the co-main event. We didn't even talk about it. And I'm not surprised.
We still haven't talked about it.
And we still can. I mean, maybe you're building up to it. I don't know. I'm sorry. I apologize if you were building up to the Titanic Serkinov Termin matchup, which turned out fine. But I mean, it just goes to show you all my talk about it not feeling like a co-main event. I mean, it's just, we barely even noticed it happened. But McKinney Ziem, I still think should have been on there instead of really any of those fights. Just because you should be pushing McKinney, you should be pushing his story. It's a competitive fight. I don't remember was it supposed to be on the main card of the card it was originally booked for? I think not, right? Probably not, eh?
I think it was a prelim as well.
This would have been, yeah, November, last November. I think it was a prelim, but it's probably at least the featured prelim. Either way, this is a guy the UFC needs to get behind. I think they know that now. Aside from maybe two of the main card fights, there was no other fighters react. I was handling that tonight. The most reactions for Terrence McKinney's win. A lot of people who trained with him, of course, excited for him. But just in general, people who are interested in his story, who were so hype up after that 7-second knockout, who just wanted to see more of him. And he looked great. And Mike, you had said, I think, there was a chance it could have turned into sort of like, a somewhat listless technical fight if it stayed on the feet for too long, because ZM's a very good technical fighter, counter striker. But that if we saw McKinney's wrestling or grappling, it could change things. Sure enough, we saw that other aspect of him, and he looked outstanding and got the finish. Hilarious moment with Bisping doing the reverse Rogan. Oh, he's not in trouble. He's not in trouble. And then the tap out immediately happening. So that was great. And my last note for that fight, if that had happened in November and gone down the same way, I honestly think McKinney would have been my 2021 breakout fighter of the year.
It's great analysis, AK. Yeah. Good pick. Jonathan Martinez, good win. Ramiz Brahimov were probably the lock of the night, a first-round submission over Michael Gilmore, who probably at this point should not be in the UFC, but they'll probably give him another fight. Carlos Hernandez gets a split decision over Victor Altamirano. Good fight. And Wellington Termin with the submission victory over Misha Serkinov. No one was picking Wellington Termin to win this fight. Oh, wait, except for one man. There's only one man who picked Wellington Termin to win this fight. He's got two thumbs and a Cape Cod t-shirt on. This guy right here, Jed Meshew. So you're going to be pushing some damn flow whenever I see fit.
Happy to do it. No one was picking him. He was like plus 100. A lot of people were picking him.
Well, that line must have closed shut.
Yeah,
because people listened to the People's Pre-Fight Show, and the money came flying in on Wellington Termin.
The money had been there the whole time. Well, look, I was wrong. I was almost wrong, and then I was almost extremely right, and then I was wrong. For as much as AK wants to say it was a bad fight that we don't care about, it was honestly maybe the most.
I said turn it a fight.
The fight we didn't care about. We already forgot about it. It's honestly was maybe the most fun fight of the whole night because you had swings. It was a roller coaster. Up, down, up again. So congratulations, Mike. You were right. I'm wrong. You're smart. I'm not smart. You're handsome. I'm not very good looking. All of those things are true. But I really felt so good. I almost text you after the first round and be like, I'm going to need 5 of them push-ups real soon, Hoss. And then I don't I don't know what happened. I still don't know how that armbar happened. It just kind of did. And he tapped like before it happened. He's like, oh, my arm's gone. No, we're done. It was so weird and out of nowhere.
I think he was tired too. I think both guys are pretty tired after that first round. So I think like, I don't want to call it a fatigue tap, but I do think like once it was almost done, I think Serkanov's just like, I don't want this. If this is already on too far, I'm not getting out of this.
He made a business decision. He knew that that was on enough that he wasn't getting out. So,
yeah.
You know, let's just wrap it up, which I don't begrudge him that, but
does he get cut?
I felt so good after round one. I was like, dude, Terman's gassed. And he was getting hammered. He was getting hammered at the end of that round.
Mike, you think Serkanov's he's out?
Pretty good chance. I can say definitively, but 95%.
He gone. Top.
He gone. And Wellington Turman will not be gone.
He's lost like seven of his last like six fights. I don't even know how that math works.
It's been a rough stretch.
But that's what he's
done. It's been a rough stretch.
Wellington Turman gets an extra 50 Gs. The Glover Teixeira aura continues to grow. Goes and works with Glover, gets a submission victory, and Glover Teixeira putting his name in the hat for Coach of the Year because his guys keep winning as well. And there you go. And if you guys missed it, apparently UFC 274 will only have the one title fight. I think it's 274, right? That's the main one. Glover Teixeira versus Jiří Procházka is going to be on the June pay-per-view, date still to be determined. But that one is getting moved. So there you go. More updates as we get them.
I'm glad they're moving it just because Oliveira Gaethje should be the main event. Like that's a main event fight. It should be a main event somewhere.
Yep.
Shouts to Evie Rodriguez. She talked to Glover Teixeira. She did a live shot with Combate and Glover revealed that and I believe we have since confirmed that information as well, that will be in June. So, okay, let's go to the peeps. Let's see what they have to say about this event. And by the way, pretty good card to lead into UFC 272. And I got to give shouts to the UFC production team, their video team. That 272 promo was legit. That was an excellent promo. Really well done. Goosebump kind of a promo. Really, really well done.
Okay. I just want to say, bring it up, throw up a question. I just want to say the poll now, 53% say Islam. There's a lot of votes. This is a huge, huge sample size. 53% saying Islam is number one, 21% number two. So almost 75% of the people voting thinks he's at least the number one or number two lightweight in the world. So it's pretty good. Pretty impressive.
Thomas, you and I are friends.
Most overused walkouts, Tecmo Mortal Kombat, and the Rocky theme. Name another. God, there's plenty.
I mean,
oh, Radioactive. Imagine Dragons, Radioactive. Oh God, there was a time. There was a time. MMA fighters and pro wrestlers were upset. Like indie pro wrestlers.
Can you sing that song? Can you sing it?
Radioactive. Radioactive.
Any Red Hot Chili Peppers song, that's mostly a Dana White problem, not a fighter choice problem. But I want to be really clear here. Mortal Kombat's a hitter, and you can F right off, Thomas. Like, I want three fighters a card to come out to that song because that song will never not be a banger. So sorry you didn't grow up in arcades in the 90s, but I played laser tag as a child, and that song will always be great.
How great was Musasi swagger jacking Darren Till and doing Sweet Caroline in Dublin? I thought that was hilarious.
Great move from the second best Dutch middleweight in the world.
I like he straight up said, "Oh, I was just kissing ass."
He didn't like the song. I don't think he likes the song. Like he just knows they'll react to it. That's great.
No,
that's what you should
do. No one doesn't like Sweet Caroline. Come on.
Except Luke Thomas. But I mean, like we care about his musical opinion. Come on. Anyone who doesn't like Sweet Caroline is no friend of mine. That's all I'm saying.
And by the way, I love you, Dublin. I love you so much. But don't you dare claim that song because that's not yours. That is not yours. Red Sox fans, Fenway Park, we're allowing you to bask in it. That is not your song. That is Fenway Park's song. 100%.
Don't ruin it. It's a great song.
Tom Brady.
Zero debate.
Yeah, Tom Brady.
I'm not going to give weird Irish people fighting.
Calvin
we King, made that famous. Sorry.
You know who made that famous? Neil Diamond made that song famous, all right?
Yeah, Neil Diamond.
Dare you take credit for his genius.
Yeah, and then years later, no one knew what the song was, and then all of a sudden, Fenway Park, they played it between innings.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Everyone started singing,
everything,
and
everything revolves around. No one listened to that song until the Red Sox.
I saw Neil Diamond about 15 years ago, and he opened the performance with Sweet Caroline. He closed the performance of Sweet Caroline, and he came back for an encore and did Sweet Caroline.
No, come
he did
on.
It three times. Three times.
That's too much.
Excellent
too
move.
Much. That's too much.
Excellent move right there.
Oh, that's a good question.
Where does Bobby Green go from here? Fun fights against fun fighters. Like, that's what you do. You give him the Derek Lewis treatment. You just throw him in there with hitters who will just be fun to fight with. Throw him... Those are the kinds of fights.
Okay.
Name off the top of my head.
I mean, it won't happen, but Nate Diaz would be the ideal version.
Oh, my God, right?
That'd be super
how does that not happen?
Like, because Nate Diaz is trying to get out of his contract by fighting Dustin Poirier.
Oh, dude. I have the answer. I have the answer because, again, nothing changes for Bobby Green. Doesn't take a big setback at all. We just go ahead and give him the fight we all wanted to begin with. Five-round main event, Bobby Green versus Renato Moicano. Just get it done. Let those two just throw bombs at each other. We have seen way worse main events on paper than Bobby Green versus Renato Moicano, but I think Bobby Green's popularity merits excitement towards a five-round fight on a random fight night card at the UFC Apex. So, yes, Bobby Green and Renato Moicano. You want to do Bobby Green, Brad Riddell? I'm fine with that, too. But those are the types of fights, just fun, striking matchups.
Real quick, about the whole Bobby Green. I kind of disagree on the whole Bobby Green didn't lose anything tonight.
So do I, Casey. So do I.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but the fact that you're saying Bobby Green, just throw him in fun fights, when only a couple hours ago we were talking about, is Bobby Green the next Jorge Masvidal? And Jorge Masvidal fought for the title twice, and we're already doing Bobby Green, fun fight guy. Not an actual title contender.
But have we
given up on Bobby Green actually being a serious title contender?
No one looked at Bobby Green as a serious title contender anyways. Even Bobby Green didn't look at Bobby Green as a serious title contender.
Yeah, you can't lose something you didn't really have, right? That narrative didn't exist until he agreed to take this fight. So you can't lose. I mean, he didn't have, he had it 10 days ago, but he didn't lose
a thing that he almost had. So sure, he's not... Coming into this fight, we spent a lot of time talking about how a win here propels Bobby Green into this thing. And not only did he not get a win, I genuinely think that like the ass kicking he took diminished him somewhat. Like whatever we were building with him amongst the broader population, sure, hardcore fans, they know Bobby Green's still this dude, but he got trucked in a way that there's nothing to take with it. And so it's just like, all right, I don't have to care about this dude again. He lost something. He lost some momentum. He found a way to do it, and that's not his fault. It just is what it is. Like, because I'm with you all the way, Casey. He had an opportunity to be – you're throwing out fun fights – a week ago we were saying Bobby Green needs to get his chance at a main event to work his way into the top 15 of the division to maybe make a late career run. And now it's, let's just put him against some guys that are fun. And those things can overlap to some degree, but I don't know, man. I think going from where he could have been with the win or even where he just was to fight Renato Moicano or Brad Riddell,
but that's
I don't give a crap about either of those fights. I mean, they're fine, but like,
you would have a week and a half ago before they booked this Islam fight.
Yeah,
why?
I wouldn't have cared then either.
Oh, absolutely, you would have.
I would have watched them, and I still will watch them. But I don't think those are like exciting, fun fights. Like,
you don't think him and Brad Riddell?
But it's not.
Those are both exciting, fun fights.
call up anyone in your phone and be like, "Do you know who the hell Renato Moicano is?" But no.
I don't have any friends. This is not a fair question.
That's a whole other conversation.
I don't even understand the premise of the question.
I could call those same people up and say the same thing about Bobby Green, and they would give me the same answer. So that's what?
True, yeah. More people. No, you guys are coming at this way too deep, fans. Like, I wanted to fight with him and Michael Chandler. I don't think he gets that anymore.
No.
I think a good loss could have gotten him that fight.
Like, when Ally Quinta lost to Khabib, Ally Quinta didn't lose anything. I think Bobby Green did lose a lot tonight. I understand what you're saying, Mike, too. And a lot.
He lost a lot tonight?
I think he lost a lot tonight.
I think you're insane. I think you're absolutely nuts. Nobody cares. I'm telling you, nobody cares. He's a G for taking the fight, and that's what everyone's leaving with tonight. He's a G for stepping in on 10 days' notice, 2 weeks after fighting a hard 15-minute fight that fans were very behind him on. No one wanted the fight. Only one man said yes, and it was Bobby Green. So there you go. I think he loses something. Yeah, the momentum stops a little bit, but there are certain guys that don't need it right now. Derek Lewis doesn't need title fights, but Derek Lewis
got title fights. Bobby Green never had that chance to get title fights. This was the
But he doesn't. Bobby Green doesn't care about titles. Neither does Derek Lewis. That's why I'm comparing them. None of them care.
They care about money. Bobby Green fighting five more times
this year gives him just as much money and fights in main events. Yeah, he'll fight. He's in lightweight. What do you think? Like, yeah, if he beat Islam Makhachev, he was the biggest underdog on a main event in like years tonight. No one expected him to win. I mean, it would have been massive if he did. But no one expected him to win this fight.
He fought Amanda Nunes like 3 months ago, so years might be stretching it.
I'm throwing up a poll.
That wasn't a main event.
Oh, you're right. Touche, Mike. Touche.
Naomi, 50 push-ups.
Let's ask the people. I'm throwing up a poll. I agree with you, as you know. But you are my best friend, so I'm biased. Let me throw up this poll here. Hold on.
The answer is Bobby Green fights on a fight night main event against somebody. That's fun. And Bobby Green is not a superstar, but people like him. You saw the reaction he got in Houston. This loss stinks. Yes, if he wants to become a world champion someday, if he truly wants to get a world champion, this will certainly send him back. But I don't think he wants to be a world champion. I just think he wants to fight all the time.
I think he wants to be a world champion. But I thought, is this Bobby Green's chance to become a contender? And I think that ship with this performance tonight is completely gone. And that's why we're going fun fight now. That's why we're
Casey,
not.
Well,
I think
total agreement. I'm exactly.
We were in fun fight mode anyways. If Beneil Dariush didn't get hurt, we wouldn't even be having this conversation right now. He stepped up and said yes when nobody else would.
I was not in fun fight mode with Bobby Green after the win. I was in like, cool. Let's put Bobby Green to actually make a run up this division and see where he's at. And like that might overlap because lightweight's full of hitters and so it's fun, but it was not like, let's just have Bobby Green have fun. It's like, let's let Bobby Green get a top 15 guy, see what goes. So maybe it's just we were in a very different place than each of us 2 weeks ago. But I am now fully in the fun fight camp with you, which I think is just not where I was. It's not where I was before. I was like, I want to see if Bobby Green can do stuff.
Yeah, Jed, I believe you. I just don't think the consensus, as John Anik is, you know, the consensus that John Anik is always talking to. I don't think the consensus was that Bobby Green is like a guy who's moving towards a title shot. I think most people were like Mike and I, the common man, of course, who were just like, yeah, Bobby Green's a veteran fighter. We enjoy watching him fight. On to the next one was a lot of, we know, again, we speak to the common people. A lot of people wanted the Riddell fight. I think that was the most common suggestion we saw after he beat Nasrat. But this whole opportunity came out of nowhere. And I just don't know. I get what Casey's saying. For this moment, it really elevated our expectations of what Bobby Green could be. And if you were a fan of Bobby Green for a long time, it's very exciting. But I also don't think that you can really lose something that wasn't realistically in the discussion until 10 days ago. I just don't know if you can lose that. Maybe there's another word for it, but that's why I'm with Mike on this.
You see the promised land and then it gets taken away from you? That's loss.
Yeah. I've had a lot of rejection.
I'm just kind of comparing this to Khabib Ala Quinta and how compared to the Bobby Green that showed up tonight.
Out of that fight, everybody was like, Al did great. He lost 50-43. What a legend.
Al had a 4 month training camp to prepare, not for Khabib, but to prepare for a fight. While Bobby Green was just like, I'm going to eat so much food and just party my ass off after mangling the face of Nasrat Haqparast for 15 minutes.
I think we're doing 197
pounds.
Give me an overvision. All right.
24 hours to fight Habib from Paul Felder is about as big a change as exists in this world.
Early returns on the poll, 72%, no effect. Loss had no effect on Bobby Green's.
Correct.
Again, we speak the language of the people, you know? That's what I'm saying. We know that.
Speak the language of the heart.
But I want to know what they thought. But those same people, then what was the coming into the fight? How many people picked Bobby Green to win the fight on our poll?
I can't. You
did the poll. Remember what the poll was? It was like you did.
Math is definitely your question. Right. Is Islam Makhachev, and that answer will remain the same if you change the year to 2024 as well.
Ooh.
You're wrong.
He'll probably retire at some point. Jed, you've been in this game long enough to know how crazy this business is. Or someone else will come along. That's like I don't know. Maybe Terrence McKinney is like the next. We don't know. Like I would hesitate to pick anybody to be a champion. Like extending past
Bobby Green
next year.
Bobby Green, maybe.
He might get his title fight.
UFC lightweight champion, end of 2024, still is Islam Makhachev.
No one will remember this except for you when it.
I'm going to remember that.
If it comes true, if it doesn't come true, you'll never speak of it again. So that's a very easy prediction to make.
I'm not a psychic. I can't see the future. I don't know what the future is going to hold. But let me tell you, if 2024 comes around and Islam's got the belt, I'm digging up some receipts.
He'll want to fight for another title. He might want to retire. We don't know. What are the chances he's sticking around for two more years? That's a long time to hold on to a title.
By the way, the answer to that other question, and it's the same answer to this question, in my opinion, is Charles Oliveira. Charles Oliveira will end the year as the champion. I've already said this before. We've already had our prediction show, AK. We decided who would be champions at the end of the year. I said Charles Oliveira, so I'm sticking with it. And I also truly believe, although Justin Gaethje is as chaotic as it gets, I feel like Charles Oliveira has the best chance to beat Islam Makhachev because he is so damn dominant with his grappling that he doesn't even really need to use it all that often. And I also think striking game's interesting and he mixes the martial arts very well. Although Islam, I would certainly favor in that fight. And if you want to throw a -3 something on that, it wouldn't shock me in the slightest. But Jed, I don't think you agree with me on that one.
Not at all. I mean, no, -275.
Think about it, Jed.
Islam's -275 and he's going to have the belt. I think it's Gaethje, and I totally understand the arguments for Oliveira, and I am slowly becoming a Charles Oliveira believer just because of the manner in which he beat Dustin Poirier, where he overcame like some serious adversity, and similar in the against Michael Chandler, who sucks. that's impressing me because that has not been part of who he has been as a fighter his entire career, but. Mentioned it earlier. If your plan to deal with the grappling of Habib/Islam is, well, I'm really good at jujitsu. Cool, you've lost. Like it's just not a world. You can't win that fight there. I just do not believe that anyone can grapple with Islam or Habib and come out okay. Like I think you're just. The way they are doing it is so different and so advanced, and you're not going to be able to pull traps or subs or sweeps off your back. You're just going to get controlled and then punched in the face a bunch and slowly but surely the life sucked out of you until you give up, whether that's in the first round or the fifth round. So I think it's Gaethje. I think it's Gaethje for the same reasons everybody thought Gaethje was Khabib's toughest fight heading into that bout. He can, to some extent, keep the fight on his feet. He can't forever, and, you know, we saw that with Habib. But I think, honestly, I just think the way you beat – the way I think that you can maybe beat Islam or Habib, one, you either have to proactively wrestle them, which nobody really has tried to do, but maybe see how good they are off their backs. I know Habib is actually very good off his back. We haven't seen Islam there a lot, but that's at least an interesting avenue, which I – Charles Oliveira is not a bad wrestler, but he's not going to do that. But really, the most obvious way is you punch him in the face really hard. And Gaethje landed freaking bombs on Khabib, but Khabib has an unbelievable chin, and so it didn't matter. We have seen Islam get got. Adrian Martins clobbered him. And if Justin Gaethje hits him like that, it's over. So to me, I think that's still the most likely outcome, especially given that Gaethje is – fought Khabib, so maybe he can take some lessons from what happened there, tweak his game plan a little bit. I just think that he's the best opportunity of any of the lightweights, because I think he's the second best lightweight in the world.
Unfortunately, I agree.
Okay, what do you think?
Oliveira by submission.
Damn.
I'm on record saying I think he beats – I'm with you, Mike. I picked Oliveira to be the champ by the end of the year. I think he beats Gaethje. I think he beats Islam. And I think we start hearing buzz about a Khabib comeback in 2023 to avenge his boy and to erase any chatter that may – because if Oliveira pulls off those two wins, I mean, you'll have a lot of people saying he's one of the greatest lightweights of all time, not the greatest.
How sick would that be, though? Like, Khabib coming back for 30-0 coming out of retirement.
Right?
Sunning his boy. Sunning Chucky Olives, and then I'm better than you jokers. Bye.
Or Olives triangling his ass. We don't know. But either way, I'm sad we didn't get to see that fight. I'll be sad if we don't get to see him and Islam at some point. I obviously that's much more likely to happen. So I hope that happens somehow. Whether it's again he beats Gaethje and then gets that title fight we were just talking about, or he loses to Gaethje, fights his way back to a title fight after Islam beats Gaethje, and then I do feel like that's a fight we have to see happen someday, especially if we don't get Khabib coming back. But I've always said I think Khabib would come back for the right opportunity, and that would be Oliveira having to win these two extraordinarily difficult fights and do so in impressive fashion. And then we'll see if that piques Khabib's interest.
Look, if Oliveira does it, I will say this right now. If Oliveira beats Gaethje, beats Islam, and then beats Khabib, ain't no question about it. He's the best lightweight ever, and he's an all-time great fighter, like top five all-time if he makes that run. Because that run is, frankly, probably unparalleled in the history.
I was going to say impossible.
Like, yeah.
I don't know that anybody will have ever put together that the Poirier to Gaethje to Islam to Khabib lights out. That's the best four-fight streak in the history of the sport, in my opinion. If he does it, I don't think that that's coming.
That if
and you can
so
add
gigantic.
Chandler and Ferguson. You can add Chandler and Ferguson.
Other people will add them. I have thought both of those men aren't very good for most of my professional writing career. So I will not add them.
And just wait. In 2024, the champion, by the way, will be Arman Tsarukyan. So keep that in mind. Sure. Maybe by the end of 2023.
Let's talk about Arman. This is a bit champion. of a what if question, but I was kind of thinking about it during the fight. This question right here.
Arman Tsarukyan versus Islam Makhachev 2 should have happened tonight. So we go. Okay, so
just say for example, if the UFC had booked that instead, they just rearranged things, had Bobby Green face Joel Alvarez. Who would have won tonight?
Okay, well, I will say this.
In the world.
Same
from,
way.
From what I understand. Okay. Hold on. Okay, from what I understand, Tsarukyan was offered that fight.
Ooh.
He was offered that fight. He said it himself to a Russian outlet that he said, no, I'm not fighting Islam unless I get a full camp, which is very smart on his part. Very smart. I would have loved to have seen the fight. I think on kind of short notice going from Joel Alvarez to Islam Makhachev.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a tall ask for a guy who could be a future champion. That kind of stops momentum a little bit. Like, he would have been a G move too, but I don't know. But I agree. I have no issue with him turning that down. None whatsoever.
It would have been a horrendous choice from him. They fought, what, 2 years ago? And, like, Arman Tsarukyan gave him a very competent test. I thought Islam won all three rounds. That was 2 years ago on short notice. Islam was all – I think even you, Mike, would admit that on short notice, Islam is probably winning that fight tonight. And then he's down 0-2 to Islam, the guy who is probably going to be the champion. And that really cuts your roads to a title shot. It makes it a lot harder. I think it would have been catastrophically stupid to accept that fight.
Yeah, just yeah. Why so soon? Like we said, it's a fight everyone expects to happen again someday. I think the phrasing of the questions were weird, that we got robbed of seeing the fight again. Like, again, if you're a believer in Armin, you will see them fight again, and probably for a title this time.
I understand the question, because from just a pure fan perspective and a selfish reasoning, the two best lightweights on the card, you want them to face each other.
But he's nowhere near that level of prestige yet.
Who are the two best lightweights on the card? Those two guys, and they weren't facing each other. So I get, as a fan, why you want to see that, but as these guys' own their own careers, of course, there's many reasons why Armand chose to pass on that.
I like that he did. I think that says so much about how mature this guy. He's 25 years old. Like this guy is not even, he's not close to his athletic prime yet. I don't think he's close to where he's going to be skill wise, which is scary when you see how good he is now. This guy is legitimately, if everything breaks the right way, will be a top five lightweight by the end of the year or this time or early next year. He's not in a hurry, and he knows. I think he just knows he's just not on Makhachev's level yet, and that's fine. That's okay. I know fighters have to have this irrational confidence, and we praise them for their bravado, but I think knowing your limitations is also super smart. And yes, would have been a competitive fight again, probably. Would he have beaten him? I really don't think so. I think Makhachev is, again, we've said this many times during the show, is just peaking right now, and could theoretically beat anybody, and would be heavily favored against anybody. If you're Sarukyan, yeah, maybe you have a chance. But you have a much better chance like a year from now, just when you become better as a fighter. He just isn't at his peak yet. Like, I want to see them again when he's at his best. And he's 25 years old. He's 25.
Yeah. Full camp Sarukyan would be interesting. Mm. Like, I would favor Makhachev, but full camp Sarukyan in a rematch, I mean, we'll get it. I think we're going to see that fight at some point.
That fight will be
maybe not this year.
That fight will be more interesting in 3 years when we get it, because Sarukyan will be starting to peak. Islam is peaking right now. Like, I think he wins more convincingly than he did 2 years ago right now. In 3 years, when he's dropping off a little bit and Sarukian's really, really coming into his own, then that's much more interesting, and that's probably when it's going to happen.
All right. I've seen a few questions about this. I think they're kind of tongue-in-cheek, but actually I want to kind of talk about it a little bit.
Was it an early stoppage in the main event? Most of us thought Islam would win, but not 3:23 in round one. Early stoppage? Did anyone come out of that fight saying, "Damn"?
A lot of fighters said.
I've seen a lot of, but it wasn't like a stoppage in the sense like, "Oh, Bobby wasn't going." Bobby was.
It was.
No one
early
thought Bobby was going to win. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Jed took it right out of the words out of my mouth.
It was early. It wasn't bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It seemed like a
you
mercy
could have
stoppage.
Let it gone on, and it would have been fine, but you didn't need to. He probably stopped it at the first point when it was credible to stop it. If he had stopped it any earlier, I might have said that's a wee bit questionable. But like, it's mostly just in the actions of the guy on the bottom. Bobby was flattened out and had stopped doing anything other than covering. Realistically, he was not really making. He was intelligently defending himself, so technically early, but he was not doing moves to escape the problem. So he was just going to keep eating those for another minute and a half. So, yeah, early but not bad.
Yeah, I had no issue with it whatsoever.
I felt it was a mercy stoppage, like, you know, stopping a little league game when you're up by 12 runs in the second inning. You know, like, all right, we're done here.
Also, credit to Islam, because, I mean, sucks because I had a bet on him by sub, but he didn't do the thing that fighters do sometimes, which is stop punching to fish for a sub. He just kept punching until he got the stoppage. Like, that's smart. That's how you should handle those situations.
Yeah. Or the look at the ref. Or the look at the ref. That's the worst. Yeah. The look at the ref. I'm punching him. It's like, just finish the fight. Like, I know you don't want to hurt the guy anymore, but you got to do what you got to do. And this, I mean, he's a killer. So he went for it. Yeah. As Jed said, not all early stoppages are bad. And yes, I'm a soft ass soy boy. I always favor early stoppages, but there was nothing more we needed to see here. It was clear.
It wasn't getting any better.
You do not need to wait for a fighter to get seriously hurt for it to be considered a good stoppage. Let's put it that way. I think that's the problem, is people immediately think, oh, well, he wasn't hurt that badly, so it's early. It's like, we don't want it to get to the point where they're hurt badly. That's kind of that's the point of having the referee in there to make that stoppage. Now, sometimes some go overboard, Herb Dean, and stop it way before, I mean, someone's even lightly grazed. But I think this time it was on point. So, yeah, it was early, but Jed said it perfectly. Early, not bad. They're not the same thing.
It feels weird saying it, but it almost looked like an amateur fight in the sense where when the ref goes, oh, this guy is clearly just much better than his other guy, and like I'm just going to go ahead and stop it now. When you think about, say, Gamrot, the guy who sliced his head open. We're just talking.
Alvarez.
How long that fight went for when he was just getting his ass handed to him. It's just, that's just the weirdness of the sport.
Take like one more. Maybe two. One more. We get anything fun?
Yeah. One more from Joseph Boza. One more. yeah. Well, it's an opinion. So we'll see what to think about it.
Joseph Boza, how tough will it be for the UFC to sell Islam getting a title shot after beating a top 20 guy in Bobby Green? I know Islam is 11-1 in the UFC. Islam should rebook. This is just silly thinking, Joseph. I love you, buddy. I really do, but. I mean, how can you deny him at this point? I mean, he's getting these fights. He could have said no tonight. Mm-hmm. He could have just said, no. Why don't you do something UFC with Misha Serkinov versus Wellington Turman as the main event? But no, Islam stayed on the card, fought Bobby Green, treated him accordingly, and fought like a -900 favorite. It's not his fault Beneil gets hurt. So you want him to wait a year to fight Beneil Dariush? Because that's a bad injury this man had. He's going to be out for a long time. So you want him to sit and wait while this division moves on without
maybe
him?
Maybe not even like Dariush. Does he need to wait to fight another, even anyone?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
Also,
he doesn't need to wait for anybody else.
Let's be clear. The UFC didn't need him to beat Bobby Green or do anything. They could have sold him as a title challenger a year ago. Yep. I at the time made a half joking, but honestly wasn't really like totally. Yeah, you should just book Islam in the vacant lightweight title fight because it's Habib's boy and let's just do it. Like, let's just go ahead and do it. Or really the answer they should have done was do a 4-man tournament to crown the new champion with Oliveira, Poirier, Gaethje, and Islam. And just be like, yeah, let's just do these four guys. They can sell him tomorrow because they just have Khabib. Here, he's Khabib. You all know Khabib. This is him with a darker beard. Like, that's it. It's the same guy.
Yeah, and look, I'm Mr. Meritocracy. I keep telling people, I love seeing guys fight their way up the rankings, knock off whatever top 10, then top 5. But I don't see how anyone can have seen any of Makhachev's like past 4, 5, 6 fights and not just said, this guy's ready to fight for the world title now. Beating ranked guys is great. In a perfect world, again, everybody would fight their way up the rankings. But injuries happen, as we just saw with Dariush. That was the perfect matchup. UFC matchmakers did what they could to set the table for him to get that much-needed win to get the title fight, and it fell through. And again, he could have just waited and gotten the title shot anyway. So, in cases like this, this isn't like a case for everyone, but in cases like this where the guy is so clearly a level above a lot of guys already in the top 10, What more needs to be seen?
The dominance. Yeah. It's just the.
I'm not against it.
Yeah, it's not the street war. Just so freaking good.
Yeah, I'm not against it, but I think we're educated enough to look at the evidence we have and say, yeah, he's a world title. He's clearly a world title number one contender. And again, according to a lot of people, including 50% of our polls, our poll today, already the number one guy.
All right.
Dude, Casey said it too. The dominance is. I'm going to extrapolate this out.
Yeah,
Khamzat is probably fighting Gilbert Burns, and if he wins that, he's getting a welterweight title shot.
Yeah,
if something happens to Gilbert Burns, and Khamzat ends up fighting Neil Magny,
right?
And he trucks Neil Magny. Give the dude a title shot. I don't care. He's blowing the doors off really good fighters. He made Dan Hooker look like a child. He went hammer and tongs with Dustin Poirier, consensus top 3 lightweight in the world. Like at. The way you're doing stuff matters, and he's doing it so much better right now than anybody else is. Like, I just don't care. Let the man fight, and that's what they're going to do. There's no way they don't now.
Yeah, and they've tried to book Islam with multiple guys. Yeah. I've four times in the RDA, three, 4 times. I mean, come on. And it's not his fault. And then booked against the guy that was ranked a spot above him, and Dariush got hurt. It's not his fault. And then he goes out there and treats these guys accordingly. That's just that's the way it is. So he's the number one guy. He's fighting for the belt against the winner of this next fight.
He fought every bit like a minus 900 favorite. I mean, 900 like was minus, low.
He fought like a minus 2,200 favorite.
Yeah.
He fought like Lucas Noonan against a 1-7 Bellator prospect tonight. Yeah. Like, that's how good he looked tonight.
Seriously. Yeah. I know how much better at fighting Bobby Green is than I am. But he did not last that much longer than I would have, or you would have, or AK would have in that cage. Like, he did not do that much better than we would have.
That's insane.
Because Islam is just that insane.
By the way, speaking of Bobby Green, 77% in our Islander poll now, 77% say the loss had no effect, which I don't know, may speak, which we kind of, as we kind of touched on before, may speak to how whatever the expectations were of Bobby Green heading into, again, him taking this fight. So 77%, they don't care.
We're playing the song again. All right. Peace out, everybody. We're done. AK, I'll see you tomorrow morning, my friend. We will record on to the next one. So get your picks in. Get them in before 10 a.m. Eastern, or they ain't getting read. All right. Get them in. You know how to do it. So for AK, for Jed, big shout out to Casey and Twos, and to all of you watching, I am Mike Heck. Good night, everybody.
Love you guys.
Love you guys.
I love you, AK.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.